on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers, all things track and field related. Well, you might just be finishing your season right now, and now you're looking at your budget and you're thinking, I have some money, or I definitely have some needs. Go to ontrackandfield.com. Their website is fantastic. You're going to be able to find things you need, and you're going to get the customer service you deserve. I'm a high school coach. I use On Track and Field for my team because I want to make sure my kids have the best of the best when they need it, because I want them to have the best opportunities. Same with you. They work nationally. They work all over the world. The CEO, he drove like 3.5 hours and dropped off custom-made hurdle carts for my team. That's the kind of company I'm talking about right now. So on trackandfield.com, check them out. With me right now is Coach Ernie Clark. He is a second-time alumni from the On Track and Field podcast, 4-time National Assistant Coach of the Year, 3 NCAA champs, 45 NCAA All-Americans, 4 NCAA records. Okay, that's a lot. But now here's the big deal. He's at San Jose State right now, which is in my neck of the woods, sort of. It's in the same state. But I'm seeing this guy at meets. He was at Arcadia. I ran into him. Looking good in his San Jose State stuff, by the way. Your swag is really looking good. And then I saw him just the other day at Masters. We ran into each other. We've been talking just through text messaging about hurdling. I thought we got to get on a podcast and talk about this. And here we are, a couple of days later, ready to talk about hurdling, and especially something that he has in the works that's really exciting for the people that are listening. So, Coach, thanks for being here, and thanks for recruiting California kids to do better stuff in track and field.
Yeah, man. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. I'm loving it.
So let's just, you know, just dive right into it. You are a sprint and hurdle coach. So let me just start with something as simple as this. Who should be hurdling? Is that a kid that's born that way? How do you find hurdlers? What advice do you have for those that are listening to develop kids to hurdle?
Yeah, for me, it always starts with my high school coaching days, and everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, they always wanted to be like, okay, that kid's not that fast, and that kid is pretty tall or has kind of long legs, so I'm going to put them in the hurdles, which isn't a horrific idea, but it's not the right idea, because to be a good hurdler, you have to be athletic, not necessarily like ball sports athletic, but you have to be athletic and you have to be fast. And I think the speed component is sometimes the piece that people leave out. So I'm always looking for people that are pretty much fearless, people that are willing to work, and people that are fast or that I can make faster.
Well said. And that trickles down to high school level too. Like when you're watching these high school girls and they're not even able to get over a hurdle. And like, it's scary.
And I'm speaking from the high school level, because I was a high school coach for 14 years. And so I'm coming from that aspect. If I'm going to find a person that wants to hurdle, or that I'm going to shift towards hurdles, the number one piece is they got to be fearless. I can't deal with people that are scared to death of hurdles or scared of death of running fast. So it always begins with that.
Okay. So now that you're the college level and you have been for a while, who are you, what kind of kid are you recruiting? I mean, are you looking at, when you look at a kid that hurdles in high school, I mean, there's a whole lot of range of kids that look like they have potential, maybe aren't getting the coaching, are fast. They do other events. You can see them in the 4x4 or 100 or 4x1. I mean, what kind of kid are you trying to recruit to be a college level hurdler?
So over the years, the number one thing that I've noticed that I need to be recruiting is responsiveness off the ground or speed off the ground. They could be the ugliest hurdler ever. They could be a mess. They could look uncoordinated. But if they are really fast off the ground, and this is true for sprinters as well, if they're really responsive and fast off the ground, I'm always excited to try to recruit them and improve them. And I have tons of examples of that over my career where that's worked out, because a long stride is, you know, it could look beautiful, but if they're never responsive off the ground, then it's sometimes hard to make them better, even though I will, but it's hard. And I believe that to be true in the hurdles as well. And Trevor Bassett, most people that follow me know of Trevor Bassett. This is the number one thing that stood out to me when he came to my camp as a high schooler. His responsiveness off the ground was incredible. His arms were all over the place. He was super kind of uncoordinated over the hurdles. He was really weak and gangly, but I could tell that he was going to be great off the ground. And then you coach the skills that it takes to either be a sprinter or to be a hurdler, and good things happen. So that's the number one piece. I think the other thing that's always important to me is how hard do kids actually race?
What do you mean how hard they race?
I think it's overlooked a lot. You can be fast and not race hard. You can win a lot of races and not race hard. I want to see people that will really lay it on the line to get, whether it's first, second, third, fifth, eighth, whatever. Because one of the key components to us getting better is being able to tap into high levels of intensity. So, you know, you can recruit a really fast kid or a person with fast times, but if they're not a person that you can push to intensity levels, they're not going to continue to progress. They're going to get a little bit, they're going to plateau, they're going to get stagnant, they're going to get stuck if all of it came easy to them and they don't know how to really push themselves in race situations.
I hear you on that one. In fact, it's really interesting to hear that a college, high level college coach is saying, I'm looking for an attitude and a type of kid, not necessarily their PR.
Yeah.
You know, because that PR, you know, that's not who they are or who they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you're recruiting kids to be hurdlers, especially in California, we don't have the 400 meter hurdles. We have right. the 110s and the 300s. You know, how often do you see college kids do both the 110s and the 400s successfully? I mean, is that something you trying to teach and coach, or is that
something that I will always coach? Because I think I really think it's misconstrued that the 400 hurdles is more like an 800. Well, no, it's not. It's actually more like a 400, which is a sprint race. So they're both speed power events. And some people even say, well, the 300 hurdles don't correlate to the 400 hurdles. No, they don't correlate, but they give me an idea of what this kid can become. Now, speed and power is speed and power. So I believe that if I can help a person be really good and really fast in the 110s or the 100 hurdles, I can help him be at least pretty good, if not really good, in the 400 hurdles. This whole correlation of 800, 400 hurdles doesn't work in my brain. Because if you're going to get your women pretty good, they're going to run 60 seconds or faster. So what is that kind of similar to? 400 meter times? Uh-huh. If you're going to get your men pretty good, they're going to run 52 and faster. So what does that correlate to? What kind of 400 times? So I've never really bought into anything else except that, like, get faster, be a good sprinter. And for me, if you can be good in the short hurdles, then you ought to be able to be good in the long hurdles if you're taught, if you're trained, if it's explained, if you have race strategies.
I alluded to it earlier. Are you looking at these hurdlers that you're recruiting to hurdle for you? Are you looking at them in the 4x1 and 4x4s? Because yeah. isn't a kid that's going to run the 400 meter hurdles for you also going to be one of your better 4x4 kids? Yeah,
they should be. They should be, right. In my experience, and this is, I just finished, it's insane to me. I'm just now finishing year 22. I've never, ever, ever had hurdlers that don't make the relays. Because I focus on them becoming great sprinters and great starters and tough people. So they become some of the fastest on the team. They become some of the most skilled on the team. And they certainly become some of the most intense and fearless people on the team. So it's never happened. A lot of times the top 100 hurdler or 110 hurdler ends up being the anchor or the second leg on the 4x1. A lot of times the top 300 hurdler or 400 hurdler is hands down on the 4x4. It's not even a question. One of the things I like about college track is you get to focus on that 2 and that 4 a little bit indoors. So, because you only got to 60 hurdles.
Right.
So the whole rest of the time you are working on that speed stuff anyway, which you need for your outdoor races. So there's almost no way that they don't get in that mix.
I'm hearing you say it a little bit. So is the secret sauce, which we all know there's always a secret, because everything And I say that with tongue in cheek, but the idea of hurdle training is speed training.
Yeah. And I talk about this at camp even. Number one thing is intensity. Like if we're not going to do stuff with intensity, nothing good is going to come. It's just kind of like this. I could do dribbling drills all day for basketball, but if I never do them at game speed, when I get in the game, I ain't going to be able to do jack squat with my pretty little drills. I got to get at high levels of intensity. Number two, learn the skills and drills that it takes to be coordinated and square and in the correct positions in the hurdle events. And again, we have to do them in intensity or we're wasting our time. And the other piece is like, we have to train fast. Yeah. We have to have speed training, become a better sprinter.
How often do you take a good 400 meter runner and make them a 400 meter hurdler? They never hurdled in high school and then they come to you. Is that common or is that pretty uncommon?
For me, it's pretty uncommon only because I recruit them. Okay. If I wasn't recruiting them, I think I would do that quite a bit. Now, when I was a high school coach, I mean, that was my whole life because the athletes would come to me and they've never done it, or, you know, we have holes there and, you know, the 200, 400 squat is good anyway. If somebody can move pretty well and has some interest and has some fearlessness, I'm going to make them, I'm going to create that. But in terms of college, I've only done it once in my 8 years and it went extremely well because again, it's skills.
Right.
It's not just like you're good at it or you're not, which is what some people want to believe. You teach it.
Mm-hmm. What do you teach with your hurdlers? Is there like a routine you like to go through? Do you have a set of drills you go through? And what are some of those things you teach your kids
that I have a huge set of drills. People that know me that don't like drills probably hate me. They're probably like, man, this guy does so many drills, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a big believer in this. They're going to have ways that they move, or they're going to have habits, maybe from when they first started hurdling as a kid, they're going to have some sort of movement patterns or habits. It's my job to create better, new, more coordinated, faster, smoother habits for them. And you can't just run hurdles, talk. So I have lots of drills that I use, whether it be sitting on the ground or whether they be three-step drills or fence drills and wall drills, half hurdle drills. I have a whole series of things I like to do to break down the movements and create reps. They've got to take thousands of reps the right way to build these patterns, to build these movements. So I think that that's one of the things that I do well. Without just running the crap out of them in the hurdles, I actually break it down and get them through these movements over and over thousands of times to get some of that stuff to become natural for them.
Okay. So I went to your website and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. And you have that elite hurdle camp. And yes. Then you have that. It was a big deal when you were in Ohio and right. Now you're in California. Or is that something you're still doing? Can you talk more about that? Your website's still live.
Yes. So I started that. Wow. I want to say close to 15 years ago now. And my first one ever, I had seven people. And of those seven people, five of the athletes were like mine. Like I knew them from club and high school.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just like, oh man. But I, you know, I did it. I tried to coach it really hard. It went really, really well. And it's been building and building. It got huge in Indiana. And then it got really big in Ohio. You know, on average, I probably have around 30 people or so. And I've had as high as like 90 in a camp before. And I try to have a couple of them a year. And I've ended up working with right around 180 to 200 campers a year. And I pieced the whole thing together very simply because I wish I had something like that as a kid. So I really try to do a good job of teaching and giving them tools and skills that they can go do on their own. Outside of the camp, outside of practice, some of the stuff doesn't even need hurdles. So, and I wish I had that as a kid.
So what's going on now in San Jose? You have something, right?
So yeah, I just got something set up. One of them is and I'm going to do two. I'm going to do one in the Midwest and one in California. But the one in California is at Carmont High School in Belmont, California.
Okay.
So that's going to be on July 8th and 9th. So, you know, part of it's really, really exciting. Part of it's nerve wracking because here I am like starting all over in a way here in California. But, you know, I'm excited and I hope it goes well. And I hope I draw in a lot of people and I get to help a lot of people. And I'm also doing coaching passes. Years ago, I started having coaches or inviting coaches in with a coach's pass because a lot of people would just ask, hey, can I do this? And as it's progressed, I've allowed people to do it. And they say it's better than any clinic they've been to. I invite them to come in and be by the drills. They come into every video session and they love it.
Good hurdle coaching is one of those rare things in a high school level that you just don't get. I haven't been to a clinic, like a track clinic, that ever has anything about or doesn't have anything about hurdles. Like hurdles is always going to be one of those, okay, how can I teach this, like you said, skills in a particular way that's done right, do the reps, the whole 10,000 hours kind of adage over and over and over again to watch these kids get better. I even, you know, Trey Cunningham, I had an interview with him and he was like, man, I started in seventh grade. I had a good coach. And I just been doing the same thing and getting refining it as time goes on. He goes, and the speed was coming, the hurdling was getting better. He goes, and now he goes, I'm much better because of those skills that I did at the very foundational level.
Yeah. And you see how sharp he is now.
Oh like, my gosh. He's so
one
good.
Of the most fundamental human beings ever.
It's really cool to watch him. Mm-hmm. Especially what he's doing now. It's really like, it's fun to root for guys like that.
Exactly. The way he's moving right now is about as efficient and as fast as there is.
So where can I find more information about your hurdle camp if I'm interested?
Easy. It is a website that I started years ago and it's pretty easy to navigate, I think, but it's elitehurdlespeed.com. You can find everything about me and the camps there. Again, Carmont High School, which, you know, I also have some hotels set up, but that info's on there. So people can get a little bit of a discount if they've got to travel from out of town, out of state or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what it is. EliteHurdleSpeed.com.
Well, it's in your best interest just to go there, listener, and just see the amazing pose that Ernie's doing where he's just looking off into the distance. It's quite breathtaking, to say the least.
It's my wife's fault, man. She made me do it.
Hey, man, sometimes our ladies want us to look good on on social media. And speaking of that, your social media account, so San Jose State, I'm going to give you props and maybe a little affirmation, never done anything like this. And I wish more programs have done stuff like this because you're marketing and branding. You're putting stuff out there with the kids that you're recruiting and it gets all the other coaches excited because we root for these kids. We're excited to see them go on. You signed some kids that I've watched come to track meets at my place, not at my school. And since they were freshmen and now they're going to be running with you, it's so fun. And I can continue to follow their careers and your career with them. So what's your social media account? And you can, you know, send us off. We'll just wrap it up right now Elite Hurdle Camping.
Sure, man. Everything I do, whether it's my own children or the kids I coach, or with my camp stuff, everything that I do is at Coach Ernie Clark. Everything. Twitter, Instagram, you can find me on YouTube and even find some drills and stuff. But, you know, I appreciate what you're saying about that because I try to coach the athletes that I coach like I hope people coach my own children. Mm. And I try to promote them because I'm proud of them and I'm proud of what I do with them. So that stuff's easy for me. But yeah, I'm pretty easy guy to find because I keep it simple.
Well, not only that, there's not a lot of coaches walking around track meets anymore. And it's sad because developing relationships with guys like you make it a lot easier for coaches that care like me to have our kids go to a place like that. So keep doing good work, man. Appreciate it. And thanks for putting stuff out there like this Elite Hurdle Camp. Like we're definitely going to have to talk more and dive more into this. So appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, man. I thank you for your time. I always enjoy talking to you.
Awesome. Well, this podcast is brought to you by ontrackandfield.com and relaybatons.com. And just go to those websites. They'll take care of you. They have what you need and you have needs because you're a track and field enthusiast and track and field is not cheap. and you need good stuff. So they'll take care of you. And then without further ado, just listen to this amazing voice. After I'm done talking, he's going to tell you how to get in contact with them more.
Thanks to Coach Ernie Clark for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast with our host, Coach JT Ayers, and his triceps. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com, custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, and custom engraved water bottles and tumblers, and OnTrackAndField.com, your one-stop website for all things track and field and cross-country related. Whether you're an athlete, parent, or coach, OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And make sure to follow us on the gram and Twitter at On Track, the letter N, Field, at On Track and Field.